Cock-a-doodle-doo! The space is pitch black. Can't see a thing. And a light comes up on a curtain, a spotlight on a curtain in the upper stage right portion. And I step through the curtain in a black suit, leading my four little boys, hand in hand. They're about half my size, down to the edge of the stage before you. My poor little boys. Cock-a-doodle-doo. And I take a wooden sword and I kill each of my boys. As I'm doing this, a bicycle is slowly being lowered from above. Just as I turn from my task, the bicycle is beside me, and I smoothly slide onto it and begin to ride. I'm on a huge turntable, and the light rises around me as I roll. The world is green and woodsy. Along comes a pile of trash with an old black man lying within, eating his straw hat. I wave to him as I ride by. What a marvelous afternoon! The cyclorama now is being bombarded with myriad colors. Pale blues and celestial golds, scintillating flashes of orange and streaks of avocado, kind of a neutral color. And a parrot flutters there too. It's great riding a bicycle. An owl. Shree, 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 shee. How sweetly the birds sing. Stupendous. There is silence as I pass through the rushes and across the rye patch. The perspective is altering. Maybe it's because I'm so close to you. But now you see the blossoming flowers and the blades of grass behind me so high they are scraping the ceiling, or perhaps the sky itself has moved downward to flatten the space. And then somehow it's all different, and the bicycle dwarfs the trees and the distant mountains, gigantic and peculiar. This bicycle is very special. It can become single-dimensional. It could ride into a book or stretch out in a bake oven. It doesn't have a caramel saddle or sugar petals, the sort wicked men would wish for. No, it's a bicycle like any other, except perhaps it is soaked through and through with innocence. You all recall stories of Adam and Eve. They would run in terror if they saw a glass of water. But if they saw this bicycle, they would stroke it. Ah, love, love! And I fall off the bicycle. I fall gently through the air, my hands outstretched. The bicycle itself rears back like a madman and chases off half a millimeter off the floor after two huge gray butterflies. I bounce and rebound. I've nothing to say. What was I saying? A very specific voice states, plainly and objectively, you're crazy. Okay! The next part of this piece, this play, takes place inside my eyes. Can you see my eyes? Sad. Infinite eyes, like a newborn beast of burden, dreaming of lilies, angels, and silk sashes. Eyes like the bottom of a glass. Like a mad child, very ugly, very beautiful. And ostrich's eyes. Human eyes in the exact balance of melancholy. In the distance, Philadelphia can be seen. the inhabitants of this city. They know things. They know the poems of the sewing machine and the roses. But can they understand the subtle differences, like the cup of hot tea and the cup of cold tea? Philadelphia shines there. This is a garden. And a simple white cottage emerges through the floor like a pop-up picture. And a white picket fence snakes in to surround it. In the doorway, in a blue frock, is an American woman with celluloid eyes. I put on my face, "Good evening." And I glance downward at her shoes, and I zoom in tight on them. What shoes? I should never have introduced them. I wish, she raises her left hand and opens her mouth and halts me. "Do you have a sword decorated with myrtle leaves?" My shoulders droop, and I raise my left foot. "Do you have a ring with a poisoned stone?" My eyes squeeze shut, and I lift my right foot. "What about it?" By then she is covered with that heavenly gauze those cherubim have brought down from the wing space. These five beautiful girls dance in a circle around me, and we are seen in poses that hold for infinite instants. Have you ever seen that Chaplin film where he and the girls in white are dancing, and he leans in one direction and they lean in the other? That's what this is like. And the multi-chords of all the city girls boogie-woogieing forth on their pianos lets loose a precise display of currents, energy, motion, flight. The moon is visible now. Motorboats appear. Autumn has invaded the garden like water in the geometry of a lump of sugar. I wish I were a swan. But I can't be, even though I'd like to. Because what have I done with my pork pie hat? Where are my paper collar and my watered silk tie? What a calamity! And there before me is a young girl, 18, wasp-waisted, beehived, on a bicycle. She has the face of a nightingale. She slows down on the bicycle and circles me. Whom have I the honor of greeting? Buster Keaton, I announce with a bow. And she falters and flies off her bicycle in an arc of color. Her striped stockings tremble in the grass like two dying zebras. At this moment, in 1,000 cinemas throughout what they used to call the New World, a pre-recorded digital version of a voice sings out, "But there are no nightingales in America." I kneel down, my head and shoulders at center dramatically. "Miss Eleanor, forgive me, it wasn't me, Miss Eleanor." I bend to her. "Miss, Miss," I kiss her, and over the horizon of Philadelphia, a star glitters brighter than anything that has come before it. It's a police star.